You made a choice. You chose to come here today. You could have stayed home. I was thinking about it.
But no.
I knew Linda is in, actually she just called me this morning. She's been in Bhutan, but she's back in Bangkok, Thailand, and getting ready to fly. And she kept saying on the phone, I'll see you tomorrow night. But I don't think she understands it really is Tuesday night. There's that much travel between now and then. But whatever, she doesn't know what day it is when she shows up anyway, so it doesn't matter. She just shows up. But keep her in prayer that she has a safe travel, safe trip back. I don't know if you heard about this week at ConocoPhillips. I know some of you work there, at least are employed there. I think more of you are employed there than work there. Not from Life Church. All the people from Life Church that are employed there work there. And that's right. Yeah, come on, Ron, help me out here. Jerry, help me out. You guys got to help me. But I heard about this, that ConocoPhillips Security had confirmed that there had been 5 suspected terrorists working at the Bartlesville office. It's true. 4 of the 5 have already been apprehended, been sleeping, been loafing, been gossiping, and been surfing, have all been taken into custody. Now, security further indicated, though, that they could find no one fitting the description of the 5th cell member, been working, anywhere in the office. But police are confident that anyone who looks like been working will be very easy to spot. They thought they had apprehended been working sitting at a desk, but it was actually been surfing trying to impersonate been working. Someone sent this to me this week. Thought I'd share it with you. It's called Why Go to Church. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He said, I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I'm thinking, I'm wasting my time and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. And this started a real controversy in the letters to editor column, but the editor, you know, he was delighted because people were reading the newspaper. And it went on for weeks until someone wrote this. He said, I've been married for 30 years now. And in that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I can't recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me strength. I needed that strength to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. Remember this. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Amen? Is that all right? A little cheesy, but not bad. Football season. Major football season. Someone also sent me this. I'm going to teach sometime later today. I think it's the afternoon service that actually I'm scheduled to teach. This is just tell stories and relate emails that people send me. But they were comparing football terms to church. And they determined that the instant replay, that's when the preacher loses his notes and falls back on last week's illustrations, which interestingly enough is the way I'm starting today's teaching. Sudden death, that's what happens to the attention span of the congregation if the preacher goes into overtime. Flex defense, that's the ability to allow absolutely nothing said during the sermon to affect your life. The halfback option, that's decision of 50% of the congregation not to return on Wednesday night. The blitz, that's the rush for the restaurants following the closing prayer. Maybe my favorite, staying in the pocket. That's what happens during the offering. And the 2-minute warning, that's the point at which you realize the sermon is almost over and you begin to gather your stuff. So there you go. We started last week talking about choices, and I pray that this week you've begun to exercise better choices and making better choices in your life. We are a sum total of our choices today. That's where we are. We're not victims. We're not here by chance. This is an amazing thing to me, that I'm here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and it's not by chance. Liz and Kyle, you guys are here. Sam's here. Rayo's here. Rhett's here. Sam's here. All you guys are here. And it's not by chance. It's God's plan. Now, we have choices that we make. But I honestly believe that you're here this morning by God's plan. I believe there's something that you're going to hear today that will help you this next week make even better choices than you made last week. And we made this statement last week. What are you going to allow to form or shape you this week? Will you let the world around you, or will you let the word within you shape your life? You see, God's word is powerful. It's not just ink on paper. God's word has spirit, it has life. It's energized, it will produce, it'll work in your life when you believe it, when you speak it, when you act on it. I want to encourage you today, take God's word that you receive today or maybe tomorrow morning if you get some Devo time, which by the way is a choice you can make. If you say, well, I just don't have time for devotions. You got time to do whatever you want to do. If I announced to you that I had arranged with your employer for you to have the next 2 weeks off, and that I had chartered a jet plane, and that we're leaving at 2 o'clock this afternoon for Honolulu, and we're spending 2 weeks in Hawaii, and it's all expenses paid, how many could join me? Prove my point. You could make it. You make choices, you make decisions. By the way, that's not going to happen, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. It'd be fun, though. It'd be great. Choices. Daniel. Remember Daniel? Old Testament guy. Somebody was sharing with me this week. They'd been to a Bible study, and some guy referred to somebody as their favorite Bible character. Not a character, it was a real person. My Bible character, it's like, I don't know, you know, some cartoon character or something, Elmer Fudd, you know, I mean, it's, you know, but they're not Bible characters, they're real people. See, Daniel was real, this really happened. Let me read to you a little bit from probably my best read this year. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. We actually did a Wednesday night grow night on that for a while and just interacted with it. If you've not read this by John Ortberg, I really encourage you to get a copy. And you got some time by choice between now and the end of the year, and you can read this if you choose to. Say it's my choice. It's okay if I read you a little bit from this? Joan said it was okay for all the rest of you. None of the rest of you answered, so I'm going to take Joan's cue, and I'm going to read this to you. By the way, Ruby, it is so good to have you here. I normally don't just try to single people out, but boy, she's gone through some tough times, she and George, and she fell and broke her wrist, and gosh, it's just so good to have you. And I'm not trying to eliminate the rest of you guys, but it's just good to have Ruby here. She's a nice lady. You should get to know Ruby. She's a good lady. Let me read this to you. You are not a pawn. You are not a victim of circumstances that are beyond your control. Well, let me qualify that. All of us have situations and circumstances that come against us. And there are times where we have been victimized. We have been abused. We have been misused. We have been, literally, some of you, tormented and pressured and just terrible things have been done to you. I am not saying that, but I'm saying that you have a choice. And you can remain a victim the rest of your life, or you can choose to rise up above that and let God's word bring healing, bring strength, and bring restoration to your life if you'll allow it to. Daniel is an interesting read here. This is an interesting story, because here's a guy. In life, there's no designated hitters. You're not allowed to say pass. Nah, just going to go on with this. And the whole analogy of this game is to the game of Monopoly, so some of that relates to it. You have a turn every time you have the opportunity to choose. And you will have many, many choices before today is over. Many. The more you become aware of how many choices are up to you, the more eagerly you embrace your turn. What will you feed your mind? What thoughts will you dwell on? We talked about that last week. Whom will you have conversations with? We're going to talk about that a little bit today, about friends. Where will you direct your desires? How will you take care of your body? What acts of service will you engage in? When will you choose to be interrupted? And when will you choose to stay on task? What will you eat? Some of you are thinking about that right now, and you need to stop, because we're not going to dismiss yet. How will you spend your time? All of these calls you will make. And when you add them up, they create your life. No one else can take your turn. Now, Daniel was a victim of circumstances. He lost his freedom, his home, his culture, his friendships, and his status of one of Israel's nobility. He had to learn to speak a foreign language and live and die in a place he never wanted to be. He was taken captive. You know the story. He was taken as a slave. And he had to learn that foreign language, and he even lost his name. He wasn't even Daniel anymore. He was Belshazzar. How many of you would rather be Daniel than Belshazzar? I would have been tempted, the author's saying this as far as if he would have been Daniel, to spend my time and energy focused on things I could not control. Complaining about what a bad leader Nebuchadnezzar was. And I don't think Obama's a bad leader, so don't get on my case. Blaming the exile, it's too early yet, we'll determine that in another couple years. Blaming the exile for my unhappiness. Feeling sorry for myself. Critiquing reality to anyone who would listen. In Daniel 1:8 it says, but Daniel determined that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food. He resolved, it says, in his heart that he would honor God, and that he spent his time thinking about what he most valued and desired. Can I just interject right now? For all of you, if you haven't, work on this as couples, work on it. James, you guys got to work on this. Sit down, pray, and write out your core values. What's really important to you? As you two start through this process, and all of us as we start through this process, as an individual, as you, wherever you are today, get together and pray and write down your core values. What's really important to you, Zach? What really matters to you? Because it'll make all of your decision-making so much easier when you put that down. And it did Daniel. Daniel chose, and then Daniel acted. Now, I don't know if you all remember, but Daniel got thrown into a lion's den for all of this, for doing what he believed to be right in his heart. Chances are none of you have quite gone through what he went through. And then he had his three buddies that went into the fiery furnace. Do you remember that? They got tossed in and were going to burn them up. Amazing thing happened. Lions didn't eat Daniel. The fire didn't consume those guys. Wow. In fact, the scripture says when those guys came out of the fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. Most Christians, if they get in the least little turmoil, least little challenge there is, they not only smell like smoke, they're telling you about how bad the fire is. I mean, it's just a big deal. Guys, I want to share something with you. We got to put some things in perspective. But it's time for us to make right choices. Say right choices. Every single day we have choices to make. And here's a key for us. I really believe that God has a plan, and he's ordained that plan for each and every one of your life. And I believe that plan is totally good. I don't believe there's any negative, evil, bad sides to it. However, I will acknowledge the fact that we're living in this world, and John 16:33 says, we're going to have problems, we're going to have difficulties. But all the way through, and Scott did such a great job. If you never weren't here and didn't get the CD, get the CD. He did a great job of telling us, hey, when you're in a valley, don't sit down. Just keep going. Make a choice to keep moving. Some people are still sitting in the valley where they were victimized. Some people are still sitting in that valley of despair. Some people are still sitting in that valley of hurt and wounds. And I want to encourage you today, get up, go on, make a choice. It's your choice. Say, it's my choice. So let's talk a little bit about three or four areas today about choices. I want to talk about friends. Not a sitcom. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about friends. Life is partly what we make it, and partly what is made by the friends we choose. I shared in the first service that when I quit smoking a couple of months ago, I quit smoking in 1969. I was teaching school. And amazingly, even though I taught school and was involved in the classroom, you know, good part of the day, I still managed to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. I mean, you got to work at it when you're involved in school like that, all that extra time. You can't smoke when you're in the classroom. But the teacher's lounge in those days, that's where you could go and smoke. And you'd walk into that teacher's lounge, and it was just, it's like one of those smoking rooms at the airport and stuff. You ever see where they'll go by there? And I mean, it's disgusting. It's just, you know, oh, it's really bad. So I had to make a choice. Now, first of all, I chose to quit smoking. And my choice to quit smoking was I quit for one day. And I felt after I made it one day, if I can make it a day, I can make it a week. Now, that's a pretty big step from going. So many of you have quit smoking, 20, 30 times. But, and I'm not here to give a lecture on quitting smoking. I'm talking about making choices. And so I stopped for a day, and I said, hey, I make it a day, I can make it a week. And when I made it a week, I said, if I made it a week, I can make it a month. And when I made it a month, never looked back. And I just can't stand to be around it. But here was the point. If I would have gone into that teacher's lounge where everybody that was in there pretty well was smoking, I don't think I'd have made it. See, you've got to choose your environment. You've got to choose the people you're going to be around. If you've got a problem, a difficulty with drinking, probably not alcohol and you drink to excess, probably not a good idea just to hang out at the bar. Just a thought. But probably not a real good idea for you. You know, if you have a problem with pornography, probably not a good idea to go in an X-rated movie. It's not a good thought. Or hang around the website and just sit there all that time and have no accountability to your computer. Why don't you put your computer on lockdown? Why don't you invite a friend, if you really are serious about making a choice to get off of the porn, why don't you invite a friend to come over, once a week, every other day, something, and just give them free access to your computer and let them check everything that can be checked on. I mean, no, listen to me, if you're serious. Now, see, if you're not serious and you still want to play that game and act like you're making a decision, but you're really not making whether it's smoke, and I'm not picking on social sins. Guys, this is dealing with anger. This deals with lust. This deals with overeating. This deals with anything and everything in your life. This deals with depression. This deals with being controlled and manipulated and being an enabler. It's a choice. See, some of you haven't understood the scripture that says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and then when they're old, they won't depart. And some of you feel guilt-ridden maybe because you didn't raise them up in the way they should go. So now you feel like they're still your responsibility, and you're enabling them and letting them manipulate and control you in many, many different ways. And I want to just set you free today and tell you this. They're not children anymore. They're adults, and they're responsible for their own decisions. And so are your friends. You don't have a responsibility to make the choices right for your friends. You need to choose what's right for you. And here's the deal. when you choose what's right for you, amazing things happen. Other people start waking up and realize, hey, they're not going to enable me anymore. If I'm going to make some changes in my life, if things are going to be different, I've got to make some choices. See, I believe the best choices you can make are those that follow after what God has for you and watch other people model after that. I really believe that. I really do. Because see, God never created any of you, to please one another. You're not capable of pleasing one another. I mean, you shock some of you and say, well, I've been working all my life to try to please my wife or try to please my husband. God didn't create you to please your wife or your husband. You're not capable. You'll mess up. You'll miss it at some point in time. You're created to please God. Now, here's an amazing thing that happens. When two people make a commitment that they're going to please God, amazing things happen. They start pleasing one another without even trying. And better than that, a whole congregation can do that. And better than that, a whole community could do that. And better than that, a whole nation could do that. What if we all just focused on pleasing God? If we focused on pleasing God, what would happen in our relationships with one another? Wouldn't they work just fine? Oh, I believe so. But you know what? You can't make that choice for anybody else. You can only make it for you. And I want to encourage you today, get free. Jesus said, I have come that you might be free. And he who the Son sets free, Scripture says, is really, really, really free. Really, really, really free. We were on a cruise a couple years ago, and there was some guy that we kept bumping into, and he had something with the word really. No, I'm telling you, he said, it's really, 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 really. I mean, he would, really good. It's really, really, really. The food is really, really, really. I mean, he would say about 5-6 reallys every time. So the four of us that were hanging together on the cruise, we got into really, really. So it's still, I could pick up the phone today and call Bill or Gay to Hatch, I can go really, really, and they'd immediately know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, you are really, really, really set free. I mean, really, really set free. Now, let's move on. We choose to be free. Here's what Proverbs 13:20 says, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Young people that are still at home and under your parental control, I want to just talk to you for a while. Mom and dad don't dislike you. It's a revelation. And mom and dad aren't trying to control you. Your mom and your dad, one, love you. Number two, they're appointed by God to be over you. And when mom and dad ask you to not be hanging around with certain people, your supposed friends, I just want to tell you something. Submit to their God-given authority. Here's the key. Trust them. Now, adults, let me say the same thing to you. Because, see, you say you should have that authority over your children, and you should. But can I share something with you? You're a person who's of authority over your children when you're under authority to God. And when God speaks to you about not being with a, quote, friend anymore, you need to obey him as well. And when that little goes inside of you that, well, bless God, I'm just going to, no, don't reason it, don't rationalize it, don't have to understand it all. You don't have to know all the reasons behind it. Just trust God. Is that all right? I know I'm messing with your poi here a little bit. That's a Hawaiian statement for I'm messing with you, but that's okay. Let's talk a little bit about time. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Chad Clayton likes it when I sing. I think he laughs a lot at it because I'm so bad and he's so good, but I got a great song to close with today. This is a great song to close with. Don't count every hour in the day, but make every hour in the day count. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have, so spend it wisely. Time. You ever have someone say to you, yeah, I'll try to do that if I can find the time. What do you mean you're going to find the time? I mean, it's like you're going to discover, you know, two new hours somewhere. I mean, hours number 25, 26. I mean, you can't find time. No, I really think it is, if I choose to discipline my life and make that a priority. See, I'm convinced, like I said to you earlier, you get time to do anything you want to do. You do. And you shuffle it. I was talking to one of the baristas at Starbucks this week, and she's feeling a little stress and a little pressure because she's down to crunch time in her exams. And after we talked a little bit, it became very clear why that was. And the reason it was that she hadn't done her projects, she hadn't done all of her reading, and she really wasn't prepared to take her exams quietly yet. And I'm looking at a few students that are sitting out here, and they're going, I'm glad he didn't talk to me because I'm in the same boat. And I got to tell you, the honest truth is I was worse than all of you. I mean, I was a very good reader, and it's a good thing I was, because I did most of my reading within a 24-hour period before I took an exam. It wasn't the best, but it got me through. But anyway, obviously, if she would have spent a little bit of discipline. She was hiding back behind Lucas, but I found her. But if she would have spent a little bit of her time each day, just a little bit, wouldn't have been much pressure, wouldn't be much stress. And you know, we do the same thing. Now, can I just say something to you? Fundamentally, foundationally, I think our society is out of control. I think the demands that are on us to live in the world that we live in today are outrageous. And the time demands are probably one of the greatest challenges that we face. We need to simplify. We need to slow things down. We need to get things into a divine order. And I want to tell you something. You've got to learn how to make choices and choose not to do some things that don't line up with your core values. Some of you need to be very guarded, even in how much time you spend making money. Now, money's a good thing. Working hard is a good thing. But you know what? There's a balance in that. There's an accuracy point in that. There's a right time in that, to be able to apply yourself to work hard, work diligent, but then live within a certain level, a certain means, so that you're not just working to keep getting more and getting more and getting more. Can I just tell you this? If you don't know what standard of living that you believe is a good standard of living for you, you will spend all of your life working to get more. And you know what? When you have more, it still won't be enough. You'll want more. And I can tell you, as someone who's a little more seasoned than the rest of you, it really isn't worth it. I was on that track big time. I mean big time. And I got to tell you, I'm glad to be off it. I'm not there anymore. And I'm very glad. I still am very diligent. I'm a hardworking person. I work very, very hard. I have to guard myself because I can go weeks without taking a day off. I mean really a day off. Oh, okay, a few hours here, a few hours there. I'm talking about even taking a day off. That's not good. That's not healthy. That's not a good balance. But you've got to prioritize your time. You've got to make these choices. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 7. Friends, time is of the essence. There is no time to waste. So don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple. In marriage, grief, joy, whatever. Even in ordinary things, your daily routines of life, deal as sparingly as possible with the things the world thrusts on you. I'm going to tie that immediately into this next scripture, which is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all. Everyone say first of all. Everyone say this. Make the main thing the main thing. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Now, those things that Matthew's talking about in that particular passage are our basic daily needs. Shelter, food, clothing, basic stuff. But he's saying, if you will put the first things first, seek, and the kingdom of God in Romans is described as this, in Romans chapter 14. The kingdom of God is right standing with God. So in other words, get the sin out. Get a relationship going that's proper and right. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right standing with God, peace and joy. Right standing with God, being right and doing right. Being right, doing right. They're tied together. Peace and joy. Now here's the point. Let's be very honest with ourselves here. Do we choose first to seek those things, or are we seeking after all of the things that we need to work in our lives and have the material needs and have these things, and we're working that and we're hoping that some peace will come along, some joy will come along, or our thinking is, if we work, I'll get some time off and I'll go somewhere where there's peace. Peace is not a destination. Joy is not a destination. Peace is within. Joy is within. It's spiritual forces that God has ordained. And can I tell you where you find them? When you hang with your friends. How many of you, and this is an old churchy cliche, but can I just, this is really cheesy and bad, but let me just say, how many of you want to be more like Jesus? 22, 23, 24, 25. That's the hand I was looking for right here in the front row. My bad. You become like those you associate with. You become like those you associate with. You become like those you associate with. Who are you hanging with? Because you could hang with Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean this way. He's already done that. Nobody has to do that. No, I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying, you know, hey, I'm talking about being a buddy, being a friend, hanging out with him. You choose. Well, I don't have time for devotions. No, you choose not to have time for devotions. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to slap you in the face here today. I'm telling you, you choose. I watch a certain sports program almost every day. It's called Pardon the Interruption. It's on ESPN. But I got it down now to it only takes me 20 minutes because I record it and I can skip all the commercials, and if I don't even like a segment, I can skip that. So I'm down to 20 minutes of viewing that. But you know, I choose that and I make that a bit of a priority. I don't always watch it every day, but most every day I'll find a 20-minute time block, and it's sort of back here in my head. I'm going to have 20 minutes with Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon and listen to their banter about sports, because I just enjoy it. It's entertaining and it's fun, and I like the program. I choose that. Now, you may not like that. You could care less about that, but you do choose other things that you spend 20 minutes on or 30 minutes on or an hour on or whatever it is. Now, you're very disciplined in your exercise, and you work out and you run. Are you still being a good girl? Are you doing that even though your running partner moved to San Diego? Yeah? All right. Pretty much. Don't always like to do it, but you get up and you do it. It's a choice. You choose it. Now listen to me. I'm encouraging you, go to bed 30 minutes early tonight. It's a choice you make. But just do it. And then get up 30 minutes early tomorrow morning. And go hang out with God. He'll be there. You don't have to wonder whether your friend's going to meet you at the gym. He'll be there wherever you go to meet him. Go out in the front room. Go just, you know, I wouldn't recommend staying in bed because you're probably going to fall back to sleep. But get out of bed at least. Throw some water on your face and go hang with him for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Can I tell you something? It'll transform your life. And not out of ritual, not out of routine, not out of duty, from the heart. How many of you really would like to get to know God better? Yeah, just really get to know him and know his ways. Guys, you got to hang with him. You got to spend some time with him. Let's talk about money, and then I'm going to close. Fortunately for you, I'm almost out of time. But not really, because this is really important stuff. Because your money represents your life. You work very hard, Chris Buchanan, not only as a fireman, but as a contractor. You give of your time, your talent, your skills, and people give you a little bit of money back for that. So your money is really quite important, and it should be. But here's the challenge that all of us face with money. Will we ever have enough? Because we keep giving and giving and working and working. And yet God has so easily, simply told us how this all works. And here's the challenge with it. It doesn't fit into the way you think. Hey, Skippy, take note of this. God doesn't have to think like you think. Maybe it's time for you to think like God thinks. You know how to do that? Go hang with him for a while. Go spend some time and talk to him for a while. Why don't you read the notes that he wrote? Here, he wrote some notes. It's called the Bible. And in those notes, he'll tell you about money, what to do with it. Here's his caution to us about money. He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. But you know the real big issue in that? And so oftentimes when we think about that, yeah, that's right, all those rich people, they love money and they're root. Warren Buffett just gave $38+ billion away. I don't know how much Warren loves money. Now, I think he does. But Warren's still being responsible with it. I've never given away $38 billion. But I haven't focused my whole life on doing what he does. He's very gifted in what he does. Bill Gates, very gifted in what he does. Richest man in the world. That's what they say. But it's not a matter of how much money you have or don't have. How about that housewife in San Diego that wheels down to several banks this last week in her minivan and robs them? And then wheels back into her garage and shuts the door. That's pretty cool. Pretty stupid. And they caught her. You know, but here's my point. You don't have to have a lot of money to love money. She didn't have any money, but she loved money enough, she decided to break the law, get a gun, rock in a bank and rob it and run away in her minivan. Come on, at least go steal a car while you're at it and be cool about it. I mean, have something. I mean, can you imagine right, the California Highway Patrol chasing you and you're in your minivan, man? I mean, let's lose these guys. Yeah, right. That's going to really work. But my point is this. She had a love for money. She didn't have any, but she still loved it. You don't have to have something to love it. You just have a desire for it. You keep going after it. I just want to encourage you. Go after God. Go after his kingdom. Matthew 6:33 is true, people. If you'll seek right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and you will work, you'll be diligent, all these things will be added unto you. If you don't buy in the world system that you got to keep having more, keep having more, keep having more, keep having more, you'll be just fine. Establish that standard of living and watch it over a period of time. Kyle and I and Liz were at a conference about a year ago. And great teacher, one of our favorites, Andy Stanley, teaches this lesson, and he takes 10 $1 bills, and he lays them all out here. He said, let me just teach you the best I know about money and about economics. It's really not difficult. Here's 10 $1 bills. And so God is the one who gives us the power, the ability to obtain wealth. That's what his scripture says. And God's word says if we'll honor him, he'll honor and he'll bless us. So we take those $10 bills and just go, okay, God, thank you. You bless me. You give me the power, the energy, the strength, the talent, the gifting to be able to obtain wealth, to earn money. And here it is. And so, God, I'm going to give you one of those dollar bills. Pretty generous, huh? That's all God asks for. Just honor me with the first part. And then you know what? Because I want to operate and live in wisdom, and I like myself, I'm going to take the next one, and I'm going to keep it. That's going to be mine. And I'm going to save it just for me and my family. And that still leaves 8 of them. 8 of them to do anything I want with, to make choices with, to determine what kind of clothes I want to have or don't want to have, or what kind of car I want to have or don't. Which they would, no, I don't have enough money to do any of those things. Sure you do. It's a matter of choice. Which ones you have? Which, well, I need more money. Well, then get some skills. Develop yourself. Be so good at what you do that they'll pay you a lot of money to do that. It's not that hard, not in America. We live in the easiest land in the world to be multi-millionaires if we'll just do it. But don't chase after the money. What I'm saying to you, chase after God. That's what his word says. And all these things get added. He said, try me. See if about that honoring me with that first one. See if I don't pour you out a blessing. See if I don't rebuke the devourer for your sake. Choices, people. Even with our money, it's choices. We declare over you that this is the most generous church in the city of area, the Bartlesville, greater Bartlesville area. We're not there yet. Liz, what a great word that was today about being generous. That's so in line with our culture. It's so in line with who we are. And you know what? As a church, we're generous. We give out about 15% of everything that comes in. I mean, it just goes. We just give it away. Do we need it? Yeah, we need it. We're not going as fast as I'd like to go to do certain things, but you know what? We're not going to get selfish with this. We're not going to get stingy. We are where we are today and blessed where we are today because of what we've given away. And that's the way my life is. It's the way Linda's life is. It's the way your life is and the way your life can be even more if we just get this thing in order. Let me close with this. Matthew 6:24. You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money. Just can't do it. Lastly, let me close with this. You need to have a plan for your money. Starting the first of the year, we're going to have another session of Financial Peace University. This time, we're going to really go after it. If you missed the last one, join in this one. If you went to the last one and you've fallen off the track, so to speak, why don't you come back and take a refresher course if you don't remember all the points. Dave Ramsey's material on this is just wonderful. George is going to help lead this along with some others. But here's the point that Dave Ramsey says. And he said, makes this statement. I think it's such a good one. He says, if you don't tell your money where to go, you will wonder where it went. What does that say? Choose to have a plan. Simply seek God. First part's his. Second part's yours. All the rest of it, do with it as you like. Money can't buy happiness. One actress I always read a quote about said, for those people who say that money can't buy a happiness, they just don't know where to shop. It's not true, but it was funny. At least I thought it was. Guys, listen to me. Life isn't complicated. And you're not a victim. Disentangle yourself from those manipulative, controlling relationships. You know, as you're sitting here right now, there are some people. I had a video clip I was going to show you. There are some people who are toxic in your life. They're like poison. And every time you rub up against them or you interact with them, you get a little bit of that poison because you become like those you associate with. Choose your friends. Choose how you spend your time. And choose what you do with your money. But you know, the biggest, most important thing is choose what you do with your life. Choose. We're in the 2-minute drill now. Getting ready to close. Just thought I'd put you on alert. So I'll get that call in just a moment. Somebody answer it, please. Sort of a nice ringtone, though. It's pleasant. Does anybody have any idea where it is? It's okay. Nobody wants to admit it. Everyone's checking their phone now to make sure they got it. It's all right. You choose to turn your cell phone off, or you don't when you come to churches. It's a choice you make. Maybe it was an alarm. Did you set an alarm that he's only can preach so long and if that's God, that's it? Actually, I've got one on my phone, but it's the sound of crickets when it goes off. I thought that was sort of fun, so crickets sound off. I want you to choose life. That's what Scripture says. Set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Choose life. It's a choice. Most of you have already made that choice. Can I ask you this? Sometimes you get sort of caught up and you get off track with that life choice that you made. All you got to do is choose to get back on track again. If you get off the track you're supposed to be on or off that big highway you're supposed to be on, get back on. Choose. Choose right. Maybe you've been here today and you've never made that choice. A choice simply involves having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See, God chose you. He said, I love you, Karen. And I'm going to send my son to this earth. You know what he's going to do? He's going to wipe out your sins. Whoa. You mean I don't have to be guilty anymore? You don't have to be guilty anymore. Karen, every sin's been forgiven. Wow. How does that work? Just accept. Just receive the gift that I'm going to give you. And that's what we're going to do right now. Would you join me? Eyes wide open. Looking straight ahead, or eyes bowed and your head bowed, eyes bowed and your head closed. That actually is the problem with most of you. It really is the biggest issue. I'd like you to change that, if you would, please. I'm tired about your head being closed. Would you please open up? Do whichever you feel. No, or just forget it. Just whatever. I love you guys. This is a great group to teach. This is a great group to be with. I hope you're enjoying church. Would you please consider going to make a choice, make a decision to try. Just try. A life group, tonight or Friday night. Right now, that's the only times we have them. Hopefully, we'll have them every night of the week so it fits your schedule. But would you try a life group? Go meet some other people. Get connected. Share. Oh, I did a teaching, a video teaching. Sam is my producer, director, and cinematographer. Just does a great job. It's on rest. It's a great, great teaching. It's much better than this teaching this morning. You need to go to the one that's tonight or this week sometime. It really is. But let's just pray. Say this, say, Father, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for giving your son. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that you've ordained me to have a great life, a life filled with peace, a life filled with joy, a life filled with rest, a life filled with good friends. A life of victory. Choices. Amen.
Awesome. Hey, want to encourage you. Maybe you just got your life right with God, or you know, Pastor Mark has been talking the last 2 weeks about six main things to make choices with, whether it's your relationships and your money or your time. There is something I know that was spoken today, whether it was through a story, or illustration, or one of the scriptures, or something he shared from his own personal life, or maybe, you know what, maybe God just bypassed all that and he spoke something directly to your heart about an area in your life or multiple areas where you need to start making some right choices. Maybe the momentum's going the wrong way in your life and in whatever area it is. I want to encourage you this. Whatever it was that God spoke to you, whatever it was that kind of stuck in you, or whatever it was that popped in your heart or even your mind, there's an area to change. I want to encourage you to follow that.